That reading comes to us from the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter and begins with the 21st verse, going through the 40th verse this morning. This is directly following on the visit of the shepherds and the nativity and the birth of Jesus. And it says, "After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, 'This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for redemption, for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Welcome to Sweater Sunday. I've come to call it Sweater Sunday because it seems that everybody wears, if they got a new Christmas sweater, their new sweater on this Sunday. And for us, with as cold as it is, most of us have chosen a sweater as our attire this morning. We left Christmas Eve and I managed to just make it through that service. And by the time we reached the car, my voice went from being nicely in the tenor range to joining the bass range from that. I blame Paul, whose grandchildren imparted to him the gift of Christmas by way of a cold, that I think that he also then imparted that also to me. I don't know if he dispersed it among the rest of the staff or not. Yes, okay, good. And family. And so I hope my voice will hold out. I still am kind of in the throes of it, but beginning to improve from it. This Sunday, Sweater Sunday. Next Sunday is Pajama Sunday. Our young people in Faith Express are being invited to come to church in their pajamas. And if you so feel inclined, you are welcome to do that as well. I know some of you have received some new pajamas also for Christmas. I will not be wearing my pajamas, but you are welcome to, if you are so inclined, next Sunday to come to church in your pajamas. Following next Sunday, we begin a series that will take us up to the beginning of Lent, and I think an appropriate series as we set off into a new year, and it's Finding Our Way Forward is what it's called. There are postcards back there. I tried to put as many as I could into the hands of members and guests that we had with us on Christmas Eve. It's Trusting GPS, God's Positioning System. I know many of us who've relied upon GPS when we actually know the way can be frustrated by those devices. This is not looking at that kind of frustration, but really how it is that we make our way forward in life, relying upon and trusting on God's ways, God's positioning system. So please take one with you, put it in the hands of somebody else who might be looking for guidance as they begin a new year, and have that opportunity to do that with us. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, may the meditations of my heart and mind and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. May we hear your word afresh and may it inspire us anew. In Christ's name, amen. So as was said, as we gathered, we are still very much in the Christmas season. This is a whole season, not just a day, a season. It's mixed in or mixed up with the hype, particularly for us today, of New Year's Eve. And for tomorrow, many, they will leave behind the holidays and holy days. And it will begin a decline into a big come down, a post-climax proverbial sigh. And everybody will say, okay, now it's time to get back to normal. All the excitement of Christmas services passed. All the food and candy and cookies and parties have gone stale, and it's time perhaps to get rid of them as we make different resolutions. All the travel and trash, the trash day this past week and this coming week, it always astounds me how much volume there is. And most of the workforce will be back at their labors on Tuesday. Now, while we still got today to sing a few more carols, and we'll sing a few more next week as we recall the Epiphany, we'll enjoy the decor here in the church for just a little bit longer. Most of us are now concerned not so much with the advent of the Master at Christmas, but the advent of the MasterCard bill in January. And maybe Mary and Joseph experienced a similar feeling. Whether their experience of that first Christmas was more normal than the retelling of it, perhaps little more than a hard trip to Bethlehem, an uncomfortable birth in a back shed, and a troubling visit from a bunch of rowdy sheep herders, or as we know in the fanfare of angels and visions and miracles, there still came a point where it was all over, and life had to begin returning to normal. And so we pick up the story right after that. Here they are, after all the glamour and excitement of being chosen out by God for a big entry into history, and now they find themselves with no signs of angels around, in a strange town far away from home, the four-day-old baby, a three-day donkey ride ahead of them to get home to Nazareth. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that we should be able to hold on to all of the excitement of Christmas Day. To think that somehow the buzz that we get as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior should be our normal experience. At the Transfiguration, Jesus spelled it out quite clearly to his disciples that you can't set up camp and hang out on these mountaintop experiences. You have to go back to normal with all its ups and all its downs. So as we face the aftermath of Christmas and the returning to normal life, it's rather appropriate that today's gospel should tell us about the return to the everyday, to the concerns of raising a kid and earning a living and maintaining spirituality in the midst of the ordinary post-Christmas routines. Like it or leave it, trying to develop a healthy, meaningful relationship with God based only on big experiences is like trying to develop rock-hard abs by going to the gym for a whole day three times a year. To get there, it's actually going to take discipline. And the more regular a rhythm you can get into, the more beneficial it will become, the more results you will see. So think again of the gospel story. 8 days after the birth, we read, they're picking up the rituals of their faith. having the child circumcised, the first major act of dedicating their child to God. And then Luke tells us in just 40 days, we again see them complying with the time-honored religious traditions of Israel and taking their young son up to the temple in Jerusalem to present him. This is common faithfulness to the prayers and little ritual observances that make up the spirituality of the ebb and flow of ordinary, everyday life. It is just such faithful observance that when carried out in a genuine response of gratitude to God, that can, over the weeks and months and years, reshape our souls and conform us ever increasingly to the image of Christ. Two other examples are given in the gospel story of people whose faithful, dedicated, day-by-day development of their spirituality has resulted in their old age to an extraordinary ability to perceive the subtle movements of the Spirit of God. Simeon, whose years of devout practice have opened him to the inner world of the Spirit and had attuned him to see deep beneath the surface appearance of things. And Anna, like Simeon, after her lifelong immersion in scripture and prayer, who sees what is really going on beneath the surface of the everyday events. So when an ordinary-looking couple from out of town bring an ordinary baby to the temple to do what pretty much every couple did for their newborn children, they pick this one out from the crowd as being different. This reading is really just things settling back into normal routines after Christmas. But in this way, we are given these little snapshots of the two ends of the life of those who dedicate themselves to God's Spirit. At one end, we see a newborn baby already being introduced to the rhythms and devotions of faithful people. And at the other end of life, we see these two elderly people who have been shaped and refined not by big, high-energy events, but by a constant rhythm of prayer and scriptures, and whose experience of life and appreciation of everything that goes on around them is far deeper than most. As we return to normal after Christmas, and as we contemplate a new year about to begin, there is a lot for us to ponder in this little picture of everyday spirituality. If we're honest and true about opening ourselves to God's Spirit and commit a little time regularly to establish some constancy and rhythm for our spirits to begin to move in, maybe even meeting with others who are attempting the same for some mutual encouragement and accountability, then by this time next year, we will know that God has been doing significant new work in us. It's not a guarantee of happily ever after, but we will be following in the footsteps of one who grew in wisdom and stature and in divine and human favor. And in the ordinary time between the big events, we could do a whole lot worse than that. Let us pray. Holy God, on the advent of a new year, we are gathered together to worship and listen. To listen for your voice calling us to something new, yet in the midst of the everyday. We fill this eve and days past with hope and expectation, and yet in their wake is also weariness, anxiousness, a feeling of being overwhelmed. But as sure as the sun rises, a new year comes, and we pick up the normal routines and schedules, which are filled with possibilities and promises. For you are a God of newness and change, calling us to be continually transformed. So help us to be mindful and intentional about our priorities. Help us to look to Christ as our way. Help us to rely on the Spirit to follow in our faith and in our doubt. Inspire us with a vision of the world as it could be, a world closer to your intentions and desires. a world of abundance and plenty, a world of peace and security, a world of cooperation and prosperity, a world of health and well-being, a world of love and justice. Let this vision not just be idealistic and zealous, bold dreams and resolutions, but enacted in small ways in the midst of the everyday. So let us be patient and disciplined, persistent and steady throughout the year. May we not too quickly fall back into unhealthy habits and past patterns, lose hope or vision, but be your kingdom people each and every day of this new year. We are confident, God, that you will walk with us. Your presence among us is abiding and real. Your love fills our lives and guides our paths. Help us, God, to not put Christmas away too quickly, to enjoy the fullness of the season, and be transformed by the Spirit of Christ in our midst, now in this season of celebration, and always in all the seasons of life. Amen.